Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great passage in Revelation, showing us glimpses of heaven. And we pray for your work in our hearts as we read it, to understand and to rejoice and to trust you. And please change our lives as a result of this. Transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, keep your Bibles open there in Revelation 21 and 22. And do grab hold of the little sheet as well, Living in Heaven. That's got some an outline of where we're going together as we look at this passage. We're in a series looking at the whole idea of heaven. We started with a big overview of heaven and seeing how it fits in with God's big plan. Then we thought about heaven and hell and how we need to trust in Jesus and receive that forgiveness that he brings. Otherwise, in his great glory and holiness, God cannot accept us into heaven. But with Jesus, he can. And then we thought about how to live now in the light of the fact that heaven is coming. Last week, we missed a week because of Mothering Sunday. And now we're going to think about today living in heaven itself. What's it actually mean to be there? What's that like? Here's a picture of some food from Jiangxi. I think that's how you pronounce it, maybe, in China. And this picture has caused a real storm in China because it's gone up on their equivalent of Instagram. And the woman who posted it was a 27-year-old woman. This food was her boyfriend's parents' New Year meal. And she'd been invited to stay. She'd gone to visit them and had this meal with her boyfriend's parents. And she was disgusted. She's from Shanghai. With a well-earning job, it's very trendy and all that sort of thing. And she was confronted with this food and was just absolutely disgusted by it. So much so, she dumped her boyfriend and got on the next train back to Shanghai. She'd obviously been expecting something much better, and she'd been severely disappointed. Well, what are you expecting of heaven? Do you think you will be severely disappointed by heaven? If we're trusting in Jesus, we are already citizens of heaven. It's like he's given us a passport. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're trusting in Jesus, you've got a place in heaven lined up for you. And now, for now, you're eagerly waiting for that. Or are you? What's it like to live in heaven? If you're unsure about that, it can be hard to be eager in waiting for it. Will it be revolting, like that parent's food in Jiangxi? Will you be disappointed? There are all sorts of things people wonder about heaven, lots of questions people have. For example, will someone you love who's died be there? Will you recognise that person? Will you see them? How old will you be in heaven? Will we sit on clouds and play harps? Sort of a frivolous way of asking, will it just be, what, air? I don't know. Or will we have bodies at all? It's eternal. Will we get bored day after day after day of the same thing? How will it be fun if all the sin isn't there? And someone might say, well, isn't it anyway, when I die, I rot? People have got lots of questions. And maybe you share some of those questions. Hopefully we're going to answer some of them by looking at Revelation 21 and 22. And we're going to discover three things that we will say when we're in heaven, if we're trusting in Jesus and we are in heaven. Three things that we'll say. And the key behind these three things is the whole idea of delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. That idea of us thinking that Jesus is brilliant. Not just that Jesus is of historical interest, or Jesus is a kind of cosmic divine service provider. Oh, Jesus gets forgiveness for me, that's great. Jesus opens the door for heaven, that's great. No, Jesus is great. Jesus himself is wonderful. And the idea of us delighting in that today in our lives. As you read through the Bible, you'll see that our whole point of existence is to glory in God. To realise that God is great and trustworthy and wonderful, and that we should respond to that with our lives. And that means seeing that our Lord Jesus Christ, who we can't see, but who we can discover in his word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is someone to enjoy and delight in. So having said that, what are these three things that we'll say when we're in heaven? They are, I see Jesus face to face. I serve Jesus every day. I reign in his new creation. These are three amazing things that we're going to be able to say. And not only is I, but we will be able to say, we see Jesus face to face. We serve him every day. We reign in his new creation. So, what we're going to do is we are going to have a look at all of chapter 21 very quickly as a sort of introduction. And then we're going to look at those verses from 22 that we read, chapter 22 verses 1 to 5, and just focus in on those. And I wanted to look at 21 because it sets the scene for chapter 22, and it's got wonderful things in it that we don't want to miss. So what's it like to live in heaven? Well, to start with, there are three foundations that we discover here. Three foundations in verses 1 to 8. There's a new creation, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So God is going to recreate the world, and it'll be new, a new creation. And in that new creation, there's going to be a new Jerusalem. The next verse, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And this is God's people and where they live, ready to be received by Jesus. And the new Jerusalem, as we see, is going to be the holy city where God will dwell with his people. So there's a new creation. There's a new covenant. Covenant is an agreement, a relationship between two parties. And we read about it in verse 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now I say it's a new covenant. In fact, it's actually the fulfillment of God's covenant that is his plan throughout the Bible, that he would be our God and we would be his people. From Abraham on, this has been the plan. And here it is, completed and fulfilled. This relationship, this agreement. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And then a new order to go with that. Verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's great to sing joyful songs, isn't it, in church? But we know as we do that amongst us we are feeling mourning, crying, pain. Death is a terrible thing. There are tears in our eyes. But in the new creation, there'll be a new order when all these things are gone. All because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in dying on the cross. It's where, when he dies on the cross, that he has paid the price. That means this new creation, this new covenant, this new order can come into being. Wonderful, wonderful good news. These things are repeated and spoken about some more in the next few verses. And we're reminded of judgment. So not everyone will be in this wonderful place. Verse 8. And then in the chapter, we move on to this section which I've called the wow factor of heaven. It's expressed in wonderful picture terms of jewels and radiance and all this sort of thing, verses 9 to 21. And it describes with this language about jasper and brilliance and all these things it talks about, and different lengths and sizes and all this stuff that you can read about. It describes how God's people are going to be there. People from who trusted in the Lord faithfully before Jesus and after Jesus. And it describes the wonder of that. And then towards the end of the chapter, verses 22 to 27, we're told that the nations will be there. The nations, they'll be gathered to God. And if you've ever read Revelation, you'll know that earlier on in chapter 5, John has a vision of the throne room of heaven. And in that vision, he's shown the results of what Jesus has done by dying on the cross and rising again. And we're told that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain, this is chapter 5, verse 9, And with his blood, he purchased for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation. He has made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So this is a wonderful gathering in of people who trusted in the Lord Jesus from whatever part of the world, whatever language, whatever nationality. And it's the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel, right back in the book of Genesis. The Tower of Babel was a place where God scattered people across the world in judgment on them with different languages to separate them. And now that's all reversed in heaven. And that brings us to chapter 22. And we zoom in to this city and we see what's happening in the city. We discover what it means to live in heaven. Well, I've stuck some emoticons up on the screen there. And if you use a phone, you probably use these. And they're little pictures, aren't they, that describe how we're feeling. And the idea is that they're a simple picture and they're symbolic, expressing so much more than just a little picture. Maybe you don't use these, but you've seen a weather map. And on a weather map, they don't draw the actual clouds and the rains they actually look. They draw little symbols to show you. And you look at the symbol and you know what it means. And in this passage, it's full of symbols. We're not to try and paint a picture and that will be exactly what it looks like when we get there. This is ideas and characteristics. It's like I tell you somewhere's warm. It's hard to paint what warm means, but you know what I mean by something being warm. And these are characteristics of heaven we're going to see in this passage. Symbolic pictures helping us. And there are lots of them. So let's just zoom through them and come back then to those three things that we're going to be able to say. So verse 1, we've got a river of living water. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. Living water. Do you remember last week what Jesus offered the woman at the well, if you came last week? Living water to well up from within her. And here it is, eternal life. This is a picture of eternal life. Life with Jesus forever, day by day, as a result of what he's done, right at the heart of heaven. And just notice there, it's flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In Revelation, the Lamb refers to Jesus. Right back in the Old Testament, there was a special day called the Day of the Passover. God was rescuing his people from Egypt, and each family had to slaughter a lamb. And that lamb took the place of the firstborn child in their family. It was a swap. And they put the blood on the doorpost of their house. And then when the angel of death came over Egypt, he went over their houses and saw the blood of the slain lamb and passed over the house. And they were rescued, saved, because of that exchange, that swap. And that's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. That was looking forward to the day when Jesus would die on the cross and he became the great Passover lamb. And we don't splat his blood on our doorposts. It's a bit revolting. But we trust in him and we're saved from God's penalty for sin and his punishment. And so he's described in heaven as the Lamb, because it's one great memorial forever, a memory that he has died for us. And Jesus there is right at the heart of this city with this eternal life. So we've got the river of living water. Then we've got the tree of life in verse 2. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. This is how you see that it's not a picture we can paint. How do you paint a tree that stands on both sides of a river? It's symbolic. The tree of life was there in the Garden of Eden. And it was there showing that actually Adam and Eve could have had eternal life back then. But they had sinned and disobeyed against God. But now here it is again, in heaven, giving eternal life again. Access to God. And look, it yields its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No more division and boundaries between people. People of whatever colour who have trusted in Jesus are there, gathered together. And they find that there's no curse. Verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. Again, we're going back to the rest of the Bible. And the curse is an idea, is the idea of how God has put the whole world under his judgment because of our sin. And so it's in a mess. It's out of kilter. It's messed up. It's under the curse. So babies die when they're young. There are earthquakes. People commit fraud in banks. It's all the curse. But look,
No longer will there be any curse.
Wonderful. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. So the throne of God and the Lamb, we're reminded again that Jesus is central, and that we'll serve him. We'll have a purpose, meaningful employment in the new creation. Isn't that wonderful? Activity. It's not just going to be sitting on clouds with harps. We're actually doing things. Remember that passage I read from Revelation 5, a kingdom of priests. We're actually doing something for Jesus in this new creation. It doesn't say very much about what, does it? So we have to leave that and trust him that it's going to be something great serving him. It goes on. They'll see his face, his name will be on their foreheads. It's a picture of that closeness of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Again, think back to when we looked at heaven and hell. We spoke about Moses and how he couldn't see the glory of God. It was too much for him. And Isaiah. Isaiah just got a glimpse of kind of the edge of the Lord's robe in the temple. And he still said, oh, woe to me. And then remember, Peter meeting Jesus. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And yet here we are in heaven, seeing his face, face to face. Our sin will have been wiped away. We'll be able to stand in the presence of the glorious God, holy and blameless before him. And his name will be on our foreheads. In the old temple and the tabernacle in the desert, one man could go into the most holy place, the special place, once a year, the high priest. And he had written on his forehead, holy to the Lord. And now, everyone is trusted in Jesus because of him, can be there with the name of the Lord on our foreheads, holy to the Lord. It's picture language, isn't it, of the wonder of being having this relationship with God in his new creation. Let's keep going. No night, verse 5. There will be no more night. That's very similar to saying, no longer will there be any curse, in verse 3. Night and darkness, signs of sin and judgment. And there's none of that in this new creation, because it's all gone. They will not need the light of a lamp, verse 5, or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. Light from God. It's his glory, his brilliance. In the beginning of the book of Revelation, Jesus has a face that shines like the sun. And so we won't need the ball of gas that burns a few million miles away, giving us light. We'll have the glory of the Lord. And last but not least, end of verse 5. And they, meaning the servants of the Lord, will reign forever and ever. Adam was supposed to reign over the creation. Do you remember Genesis 1:28? Let me just read that to you. Genesis 1. Right back when God made the world, he said to human beings, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And they didn't. They messed it up. And we've been continually messing up since. But in the new creation, they will reign forever and ever. All things have been made new by God. Well, how do we react to this? It's a picture postcard from heaven, isn't it? With all these symbols on it. This is what it's going to be like to live in heaven. How do we react? Years ago, back in 1922, Howard Carter made one of the most remarkable and important archaeological discoveries of last century. He unearthed the tomb of King Tutankhamun. And unlike a lot of tombs in Egypt, this one hadn't been plundered by grave thieves. And so there was a lot of expectation as they went to the door that was all covered over to see what was in there. And they waited until Lord Carnarvon, who is the sponsor of the project, turned up. So on the 26th of November, with Lord and Lady Carnarvon by his side, Carter broke a small hole in the top left corner of the doorway and held a candle to it. At first, he saw only darkness. But as his eyes adjusted to the dim light provided by the flickering flame, shapes of statues and animals began to emerge. He later described being struck dumb with amazement as he saw everywhere the glint of gold. As the tension mounted, Carnarvon asked Carter if he could see anything, to which the archaeologist gave this famous response: "Yes, wonderful things." Isn't that how we respond to Revelation 22? Aren't we struck dumb with amazement as we see these glints of gold, as it were? Can we see anything? Yes, wonderful things. And so when you go home and someone asks you today, "Did you see anything in church?" you can say to them, "Yes, wonderful things. Wonderful things about heaven." But what about those three things that we're going to say? I see Jesus face to face. Well, isn't this the most treasured sight in all creation? Maybe you've got a bucket list for you and you want to see Angkor Wat and Machu Picchu maybe, or the Queen. I want to tick those things off. To see Jesus is a far more precious sight than any of those. Maybe you're asking, will someone I love who's died be there? Will I recognise that person? If they've trusted in Jesus, they'll be there and they'll see his face. Will we then set our hearts on this desire now? Will we make Jesus the delight of our lives today, that we might delight in him in heaven? I'm going to see Newton Faulkner in concert in a couple of weeks, and I'm listening to Newton Faulkner's albums. I've got them on my phone, and I'm driving along in the car, I'm playing them over and over again, so that when I get there, I can sing along to my heart's content. Getting ready. Will we delight in Jesus today, so that when we get there, we can sing along to our heart's content as we see him face to face? I serve Jesus every day. We'll be able to say that, won't we? In heaven. Not sitting on a cloud playing a harp, or maybe there will be harps, I don't know. Not getting bored, because there will be meaningful activity. When did you last wake up in the morning and go, "Yes, today I'm going to work"? Every day we'll do that in heaven, serving the Lord Jesus. Someone might say, "Well, how will it be fun if all the sin isn't there?" Come on, sin is an offence to God. It'll be wonderful when all the sin is gone and we serve Jesus every day. And so why don't we ask, why aren't we serving him today? Let's serve him today. Yeah, we can serve him in our lives today by living out of what he wants in our lives, by sharing the good news of Jesus with people, by joining in with helping with the way we teach the Bible and help people know Jesus here at St. Lawrence, by doing good things for people in our lives. We can serve Jesus every day, today, as we will then. I reign in his new creation. That's what we'll be saying together. We reign. We rule over his new creation. It's not when I die I rot, is it? If you trust in Jesus, when we die, we go to be with him in his new creation, where there's physical activity. If we're saved by Jesus, we'll be there. And it won't be like being in this world, where all our work is tainted by the curse and by night, as it were. No, the curse is gone. There's no night. We'll reign in this new creation. And the question for us then is, will we persevere today? Will we keep going today with Jesus, knowing what he's promised for the future, trusting in his faithfulness to do what he's promised and to take us to be with him there? Well, I wonder what you're expecting of heaven. Do you think you'll be disappointed like that Chinese lady with the food? I don't think so. If someone asks you today, "Did you see anything at church?" it hopefully won't be, "Well, it was a bit grotty and revolting." Hopefully, we'll be able to say, "Yes, wonderful things, wonderful things." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for giving us this insight into living in heaven. These pictures to help us get a glimpse of the wonder of all that Jesus graciously offers to us because he's died for us on the cross and he's our risen Lord and Saviour now. Lord, work in our hearts to have a sense of wonder, a greater sense of wonder today of our Lord Jesus, that we delight in him more today, just as we will see his face on that day. Help us, Lord, to see in our lives how today we can serve him, just as we will serve him from day to day in your eternal kingdom. And help us, Lord, today to persevere in this difficult world, which is still under the curse and where there is still the darkness of sin, as we wait eagerly, looking forward to that day when we'll reign with you in the new creation through all that Jesus, our Saviour, has done for us. Amen.